following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to think and criminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
Well, one major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Tokers and Tokettes, Wednesday, September 15th, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us for the next 60 minutes of news, talk, interviews, information, music, comedy, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community. Coming to you live and direct from Rolla J Studios here in beautiful Potland, Oregon. And we're having ourselves a good time here in the Pacific Northwest. Bad news for today's show. Unfortunately, the pirate Ganja John will not be joining us today. He's got a pain in the neck. Literally, a pain in the neck. He's got a neck pain that he's dealing with, and he's taking the day off. So we've got him in the hospital. They took him in to see what the pain was all about. But last word I heard is that he's okay. It's nothing that we really have to worry about. Just want to make sure that there isn't a major problem with that neck. Also coming to us from our virtual studio in beautiful Astoria, Oregon, my good friend and half-half sister, Cannabis Carrie.
Hi, Russ. Lonely Russ there in the studio. We're used to you having a whole slew of people from this weekend.
Yeah, I know, and I'm having to adjust a bunch of things here in the studio as well, having some audio difficulties. So the time I really need John, he's off in the hospital. Doggone it, I hate it when this stuff happens. But how are you today?
We'll get through it. I'm doing pretty good. It's gorgeous out here today. There's a nice thick blanket of fog, and fall has arrived here on the West Coast, and still recovering from that crazy convention, as I see many others that attended the convention are also still in recovery mode. It might take us a week to find our sea legs.
Yeah, it was quite a 5 days, all the way from the Wednesday night pre-registration party all the way through Hempstock on Sunday. We just had ourselves a great time, and we were so glad to bring some of that to you. I've been processing a lot of the audio from the Normal National Conference. In fact, I got all the Thursday plenary sessions taken care of today. We'll get those uploaded later on in today. Also on today's show, we're going to play one of those speeches from Thursday, our own executive director, Alan St. Pierre, and his opening remarks on the cannabis conundrum. Also on today's show, we've got your visit with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. We always visit with him on Wednesdays, taking your live calls on cannabis science. But first, before we get to all that, Cannabis Carrie has the news headlines. What's in the news today?
Well, today we're going to go outside our borders for two of the stories. We're going to go to the Green Isle of Ireland and find out what they're talking about there when it comes to cannabis law reform. Also, we're going to go back down to Mexico. You know, we've been doing a lot of reporting on Mexico. They've got a lot of news coming when it comes to drug violence and what they're dealing with down there. And we're going to go to a county in California that just passed a new ban. We're going to tell you all about that as well.
All right. Great stuff coming up in the headlines right after our first break. Stick around. It's Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. You can catch us on iTunes. This first hour is podcast on iTunes as the Daily Audio Stash. Our second hour is Toker Talk Radio, where you can call in or Skype in and ask your questions about marijuana law reform. We're right back after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
Normal Show Live reminds you to never consent to a search. If you're holding and you consent, in most states you will be arrested immediately and you will go to jail. If you don't consent to a search, police may try to intimidate you by threatening to bring in drug-sniffing dogs or try to fool you by saying things will go easier if you consent. Yeah, easier for them, sure. Stand your ground, refuse the search, and ask the officer if you're free to go. If they still detain you and eventually find your contraband, you'll be no more busted than if you had allowed the search. But by refusing the search, your attorney has a chance to win your acquittal before a judge. If you consent to the search, your attorney's hands are tied. You can find a list of Normal Legal Committee attorneys specializing in marijuana cases by visiting the Find a Lawyer link at normal.org.
Five of the last seven people to run for president and the last three winners have all smoked pot. Marijuana, the gateway drug to the White House.
Yo, what's good? This is Be Real of Cypress Hill, chilling on Normal Show Live. Legalize it.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
The beautiful Ireland is eyeing the green bud that many Americans are permitted to use medicinally. Ireland's Minister for Health, Mary Harney, says she is open to making cannabis legal for medical purposes. In a statement, the Department of Health and Children said that following Harney's lead of seeking legal advice on the effectiveness of the drug for medical treatments, their department is making contact with relevant experts in the field with a view to making a recommendation to the Minister of Community Affairs. His name is Pat Harney, and before the end of the year, he will probably make his decision. Health Minister Mary Harney has said as recently as last year in an answer to a parliamentary question that she would not propose a change in the law that would allow cannabis to be used for medical purposes, but she has recently met with medical cannabis campaigner Gordon McArdle and changed her tune a bit. And the Minister for Community Affairs was also in that meeting to discuss the issue. McArdle was pleasantly surprised at how open the ministers were to the idea of changing the law, but a spokesman for the Minister of Community Affairs, who has the overall responsibility for the Irish government's drug strategy, was quick to point out that the meeting was because Mr. McArdle was a constituent. If Ireland accepts a medical cannabis policy, they will join the UK, Canada, Italy, Spain, Israel, and 14 of the US states. We can expect a decision from them by the end of the year.
Well, interesting. Russ? Yeah, interesting we get this news out of the UK because we always talk to Cannabis Cure out there in Britain, but Ireland seems to be going a different direction on this. Did you get any, Carrie, is there any news that you know about as far as Ireland's consumption of cannabis or their cannabis community in comparison to the rest of Europe by any chance?
You know, actually, I did look that up. I was actually surprised. I didn't know that the UK had medical cannabis. Mm-hmm. I didn't know a lot of them were seeking medical cannabis. I wasn't really aware of the medical cannabis community, but I think that they are taking a lead from the US. The cannabis reformers and the other countries have seen what we were doing and the strides we've made in medical marijuana, and a lot of the European countries, not just the ones I mentioned, are now eyeing medical marijuana as a way to legitimize the use for patients. We all know that it has medical benefits.
Yeah.
So we're hoping to see those communities grow stronger and stronger.
Yeah, and it's been such a shame, too, recently in the United Kingdom, how they've had a swing back to conservative-style governments. They upgraded cannabis from a Class C to a Class B drug after they had downgraded it and found a lot of success, you know, from downgrading that drug as far as reducing the the crime and the harm associated with the use of cannabis in the UK. Also in the UK, we've got these terrible tabloids. I mean, the United States tabloids got nothing. You know, they got these things, the Sun and the News. The only difference between the UK tabloids and the American tabloids is in the American tabloids, you're going to see a picture of the Bat Boy or, you know, the alien baby from Obama or something like that. Whereas in the UK tabloids, it's boobs. You're going to see pictures of boobs, both politicians and female breasts. So it's quite of a different thing, but their tabloids there, they do a whole lot of reefer madness. They talk about, you know, the skunk, the deadly skunk that's taking over the streets of Britain and how it's 90 times more powerful than the Woodstock weed. You know, every reefer madness lie you could possibly want to hear comes out of the UK. Just recently, there was the story on George Michael, the famous singer, you know, formerly of Wham and so on, George Michael getting busted once again, and it had something, some auto deal, some traffic law or something, and he blamed it on his cannabis use. Yes, I used cannabis. Oh, my God, I used cannabis. They failed to note that, you know, he also used a sleeping pill, you know, and that was part of the problem, right? But got to blame it on the cannabis first. I saw that in a story I covered in 2008 where it said, cannabis smoking mum stabs herself to death. Right? They failed to mention that she was, you know, schizophrenic, she'd had a history of mental illness, oh, and that she'd been on amphetamines. But, you know, the headline, cannabis smoking mum, right? Anyway, thank you, Kerry, for that news out of there, out of Ireland. We'll keep our eye on the UK.
In Fresno County, California, outdoor marijuana gardens are now illegal thanks to an emergency action plan by the Fresno County supervisors. The moratorium on outdoor gardens goes into effect this week. Supervisor Henry Perea questioned the medicinal need for the gardens that have appeared throughout his county. In announcing the ban yesterday, Mr. Perea called the plethora of outdoor gardens in his county a racket, saying they aren't for medical purposes and that too many have figured out a way to abuse the well-intended law. The ban seems to be a knee-jerk reaction to recent reports of gunfire at medical marijuana gardens, with one man shot and killed while allegedly stealing marijuana from a garden in central Fresno. The marijuana grower who shot the intruder is facing murder charges. Legal providers like Shannon Luce told the supervisors, it's unfair to punish them because of the shootings. What kind of precedent are we setting by martyring criminals and punishing law-abiding citizens, she said. Despite pleas from growers, the board acted on advice from the county council and voted unanimously for a 45-day moratorium on outdoor pot growing with an eye on banning it altogether. Supervisor Perea believes it means growers can move their plants inside or lose their crop. Quote, I would advise them to take them down today or tomorrow because we are going to come after them, unquote. Fresno County Sheriff's Margaret Mims was quick to point out that no raids are imminent following Perea's statement. Quote, this afternoon there will be no deputies out pulling up marijuana plants. Sheriff Mims says she supports the supervisor's actions, but says too many cities and counties have been sued and forced to compensate marijuana growers for compensated plants. Marijuana defense attorney Bill McPike believes that the moratorium is unenforceable and will be challenged in court. Quote, he says, it's so blatantly unconstitutional. I don't care what the county council said. I wasn't there, but I disagree with them and we're willing to fight for patients' rights, unquote. The moratorium is coming just as outdoor harvest season is underway, so it is likely plants growing now will be harvested before law enforcement get the chance to pull them up anyway.
Yeah, once again, the stupid campaign against marijuana planting, you know, uprooting, you know, paying overtime wages to police and all the money it takes to fuel up a helicopter and the wages it takes for the pilot and all that money poured down the drain so cops can go out on the weekend and do some weeding. You know, some gardening, you know, pull some weeds. Is this really the way we want to be spending our scarce law enforcement dollars? And this notion, you know, this guy says, oh, well, the well-intended law is being abused. There's too many of these outdoor grows. It's being abused. It's being abused. Well, look, these outdoor grows are supplying the medical marijuana dispensaries here in, or down there in the state of California, first of all. So they are being used for medical purposes. But again, this comes back to my presentation that I did over the weekend at Normal Conference, and that is the aspect of the don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining theme that's coming through from our opponents, and we're hearing it from him. He's saying, look, you're telling me this is all medical, but my God, look at all of these gardens. It can't all be medical. Well, it could all be medical, but maybe it isn't. Maybe part of it is, you know, being diverted to the black market, being diverted to those of us who are healthy enough to imprison for marijuana. So what? It just further illustrates the point that marijuana is here to stay. You can make it completely illegal. You can send cops out to pull it up. You can burn fields of it. You can put people in prison for long periods of time. You can ruin their lives, and yet it's not going anywhere. We have been smoking pot in America for 40 years, very popularly, and for hundreds of years before that, it's not going anywhere. Your only choice right now is whether or not you want this market to be completely uncontrolled, Wild West chaos like it is right now, or do you want to come up with sensible regulations and legalize this plant, legalize its possession, so that it can be brought under control, brought into a regulated scheme, much like what we might have with alcohol or tobacco, making it such a way that we control the harms of it, we control the access to it, we control what goes into it, we control where it gets planted, we control who sells it to whom, who can buy it, and so on. Right now, you've got Wild West chaos. This is something the prohibitionists always say is, oh my God, marijuana is out of control. Yes, because you refuse to control it. It's time to pass Prop 19. It's time to get on with the business of legalization.
The debate about legalizing cannabis is percolating in Mexico, a nation weary with escalating violence in a deadly drug war. Mexicans are keeping a close eye on the California vote, seeing it as a bellwether. Jorge Hernandez Tenero, a political scientist, thinks that a yes vote on California's Prop 19 would radically impact Mexico in a positive way. Recently, President Felipe Calderon has vowed to fight even harder against the drug cartels responsible for thousands of murders of Mexican citizens. Calderon was taken aback last month when he held a series of open forums with politicians and civic leaders to discuss strategies to quell the violence. He found himself being asked repeatedly about legalization, an idea he described as absurd. It isn't just politicians and civic leaders who are changing their tune to the idea. 200 Mexican citizens gathered in a park in Mexico City on Sunday to smoke marijuana openly and demand it be legalized. The protesters stood in the drizzling rain on the popular tourist drag of the Alameda to smoke the cannabis, which remains illegal in Mexico, although the country is among a handful of Latin American nations that allow for the possession of a small personal amount of the substance. Many participants smoked out of pipes as music was played and a petition was circulated to call for legalization. More than 28,000 people have been killed due to drug gang violence in the last 4 years in Mexico. Supporters of legalizing marijuana in Mexico can count former President Vicente Fox in their corner. Fox, a conservative party leader, has been voicing his support for Mexico to legalize cannabis. This weekend, U.S. Border Patrol agents fired into Mexico during a marijuana seizure along the Texas-Mexico border, and agents are reporting seizing over 800,000 pounds of marijuana confiscated this year so far. Mayor of Tijuana, Jorge Ramos, says that, quote, marijuana arrives in the United States soaked with the blood of Tijuana residents, unquote. Ramos Police's department has lost 45 officers to drug violence in the last 2 years. The message to our southern neighbors is confusing at best. The Obama administration has been pressuring current Mexican President Calderon to stand firm in his costly, bloody military campaign against marijuana traffickers, while within our borders, he has told Americans that he would not prosecute medical purveyors in medical marijuana states, such as the 100 or so dispensaries that enjoy legal marijuana in Tijuana's American sister city, San Diego. Mexican leaders are increasingly asking why their country should continue to attack cannabis traffickers and peasant farmers if the U.S. government isn't enforcing federal marijuana laws in the most populous U.S. state.
Viva legalization, oh, el presidente, legalización para cañamo. It's time to legalize marijuana, ahora, now, get this legalized. You know what's absurd? He says it's absurd to think of legalization. You know what's absurd, el presidente? It's absurd to have 28,000 of your people massacred in drug war violence and thinking that applying more pressure, bringing in more helicopters, more drones, more guns, more police, more interdiction, it's absurd to think that's gonna work when it hasn't worked over the past 40 years everywhere it's been tried. They have death penalties penalty, death penalty for marijuana trafficking in Singapore, and yet people are still trafficking marijuana in Singapore. It does not solve the problem. The former Mexican and Latin American presidents are right. It's time to legalize in the United States and provide some labor, some jobs, some economy to the people of Mexico who could be growing marijuana and exporting it to the United States. Let's kill two birds with one stone. Kill the immigration problem and the marijuana legalization problem all at once. All right, time to take a break, a well-deserved break on my side over here. Doing the job of two, man. We miss you, Ganja John. We'll get you back soon, I'm sure. Get well. We'll be right back after this.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would say to South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
The Normal Pack, the political arm of Normal, makes contributions to members of Congress and select state legislators who support our policies and advance legislation towards that end. Elected officials need to see that those of us who support legalization are serious about changing policy, are about more than just getting high, and understand the importance of supporting politicians who support us. Please make a contribution today to the Normal PAC and send it to the Normal Office in Washington, D.C., 1600 K Street Northwest, Suite 501, Washington, D.C., 20006. Or go to the Normal website and make a generous contribution. It is an investment in our future and will help assure we finally re-legalize the responsible use of marijuana in this country. Thank you.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we get tunes for Irie Wednesday, our celebration of that mellow vibe we find in the best of reggae, ska, calypso, and Latin music. Brought to you by Johnny Reefer Seed and the High Rollers in Des Moines, Iowa. America's favorite red-eyed soul rock and roll band, now available on iTunes and CD, baby. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
Welcome back, everyone. 22 after the hour. Going to have to fix that intro because, unfortunately, Johnny Reefer Seed is no longer able to be our Daily Toker Tunes editor for Irie Wednesday. The position is open. If you'd like to bring to us the greatest in reggae, world music, ska, calypso, dub, all of that great music, please send me an email, stash@normal.org, with your application to be our music editor. Here's what we need. We just need you to be reliable. Someone who can bring us a tune every Wednesday. You can call in if you'd like to intro it yourself, or you don't have to. I'll be glad to intro it for you, but we'd love to have another volunteer on staff bringing us some great music. We'll give you some pointers as well, some websites where you might find some good stuff like marijuanamusicawards.com and Podsafe Music, IOTA Promo, and so on. Before we get today's tune, I've got to make a couple of quick announcements, those stuff that came up in the chat room. Mara Felsen wanted me to remind everyone that today is the day to call your senators to help urge them to pass Senate Bill 714. This is Senator Webb's bill, Senator Webb from Virginia, to establish a National Criminal Justice Commission, a commission to look at our justice system, prisons, the drug war, etc., and to make official recommendations. This is the most important commission since the Schaefer Commission back in the early 70s, and we need you to call your senators and have them support that. Check out Normal's Take Action Center from normal.org, and you can get that information out. All right, for today's Daily Toker Tune, I'm just going to go back to the vaults and play one of my favorites. This is Echo Movement with I Think God Smokes Weed.
I think God smokes weed, and he was high when he made me. I can feel it in my DNA. I think God smokes weed, and he was high when he made me. And I think he gave up halfway. Complete as I understand, God was making a mess of the man he planned. In the face of defeat, he spoke the helping hand and said, I'll just put him in a reggae band. I feel it in the beat when I'm on the stand. I feel it in my feet when I'm on the sand. I see it in the sunsets that might expand into your mind so you understand. I think God smokes me. Consistently, except for the one time he dropped that seed. I hear the God's in you and me and all we see, assuming all the actions of my own body. If that's the way it is, then you must agree. Every time we rock the gun, so does he. I think God's so sweet, and he was high.
That's Echo Movement with I Think God Smokes Weed, and She Was High When She Made Me. Great stuff from Echo Movement. Check them out, echomovement.com. We've also got the downloads at stash.normal.org. Look in the main menu under Media and then Toker Tunes. You can download a copy of that song for your iPod. Almost everything we play is available for download, at least those who give us the permission to make that download. Thanks, guys, and Echo Movement, we appreciate it.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Normal, and I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
Thank you.
Founded in 1970, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws is the oldest, largest, and most popular lobby of cannabis users in the world. From our Washington, D.C. offices, we lobby our federal government. And from our chapters nationwide, we lobby our state and local governments to end the war on American citizens who choose to use cannabis responsibly. We take you now to our nation's capital for a visit with Executive Director Alan St. Pierre and a look at this month in Normal.
Thank you all very much for the self-sacrifice. And I know that almost to a person, everybody pays their own way to come to these events. And that is really heartening to know that when we think back around the era of alcohol prohibition and we see the men and women in front of those churches and those large halls and temples, that's what you represent today in 2010, the same sort of individuals who come forward who would like to see the laws change. I'm going to try to keep my remarks very brief here because we have Congressman Earl Blumenauer here, and that really speaks, I think, to the need that we all possess to hear from our elected officials about what they think about this prohibition and what the future holds. It would be wrong not to point out again and sound like a broken record that 1 year to date, when we met last year in San Francisco, the kind of remarkable changes that have happened in just one calendar year. And it's clear, as demonstrated by our previous two speakers, that public opinions are moving in the direction of reform. That, too, is clear. Just to give some metrics here, 74% of the American public support medical access. 73% support this notion of decriminalization. About 45% in the nationwide polls support legalization. And in a place like California and Oregon and Washington, just think of the Northwest and most of the Ninth Circuit, frankly, supports legalization in the majority, not at the 58 and 60 percentile, the real slam dunk levels you need to really move reform, but we are absolutely moving into strong pluralities and low majorities, which is what's really driving this narrative. This year's conference theme of Just Say Now reflects
I think God smokes weed
after 73 years of prohibition, not 12 or 13 like alcohol. 73 years of prohibition. And these normal conferences are the sui generis of the reform movement at an organized level. In 1971, the first People's Pot Conference was convened in Washington, D.C. in a church. So these are the historical prime convention for cannabis law reform that helps bridge the political, ethical, scientific, legal, and geographic considerations between at times seem like very disparate political reform agenda. At Normal, we make no great distinction between decriminalization or legalization or hemp or medical marijuana. I would like to think I could get up and give a two-hour cogent lecture on any one of those, and it'd all be proper. Combined, in my mind, it makes it even more compelling. But it has to be, I think, self-evident to all that the overall legalization of cannabis largely makes the two stepchildren of prohibition, the denying of medical cannabis to patients and the banning of domestic industrial hemp, entirely incomprehensible and unsustainable. In 2010, what are the five things that are primarily driving this zeitgeist for marijuana law reform? Well, clearly, if you're over the age of, say, 50, you can pat yourself on the back because it is the baby boomers that are largely driving this narrative in the United States. And they possess a much different attitude and experience with cannabis than we would say the World War II generation. As indicated by Steve, it's these crushing recessionary times that we're living through that are really sharpening the focus of politicians. I've mentioned many times in the media that in the last two or three years at Normal, we don't take questions anymore from the media about males developing breasts or not being able to have children or amotivational syndromes or gateway effects. All of that has been removed, and now we're having discussions around zoning, compliance, taxation. And then the Internet. The internet. I have been at Normal so long, I have been there pre- and post-internet. And I can assure you that post-internet, without the ability for us to commonly communicate with each other, we would not be moving this narrative along as fast as we can. There are now 1.3 million people in Normal's opt-in network. I could have never licked 1.3 million stamps, you know. We would put the organization in bankruptcy just to mail to 1.3 million people. And it's the retail access to medical cannabis in states like California, Colorado, and really Montana that are making it so that politicians and, frankly, law enforcement can see that on a main street you can have a 7-Eleven, medical cannabis dispensary, a dry cleaner, a bank, no big deal. And that, too, has really helped drive this narrative over the last couple of years. There are 2,500 retail outlets in the United States for medical cannabis. Americans, and this is my most subjective view about why I think we're at the zeitgeist, we're just wary. We are tired of 73 years of marijuana prohibition, with 22 million offenders being arrested, and billions, tens of billions of dollars forsaken in taxes. California's Proposition 19. Not since California's voters' cataclysmic approval of medical cannabis in 1996, Prop 215, has there been a more important cannabis law reform project in America, a binding voter initiative that will largely legalize cannabis for personal use and cultivation. With one out of eight Americans living in California, it is a nation state. It has the sixth or seventh largest economy in the world. It can cogently be argued that if California moves in this direction, it will probably move the federal government off of prohibition. Proposition 19 is currently leading in the polls, not a strong lead, and this is why I think most of us believe this is a wobbler, as my friends in Britain would say. This thing's going to win by 1 or 2 percentage points or lose by 1 or 2 percentage points. But as a DPA op-ed about a week ago indicated that even if this loses, and I agree with them, if this loses, it has still won the hearts and minds of Californians and Americans to have this discussion around legalization. And not to be, yes. I mean, no offense to Oregon or Washington or my home state of Massachusetts or Wisconsin or Colorado, none of those states are going to move the federal government like California. It's got to be a bellwether state, a Pennsylvania, an Ohio, a Florida, a Texas, but it's really California. And here in Oregon, not to be entirely overshadowed, is a very important initiative, Measure 74, and that is supported by many people in this room, as well it should be, because it's a classic, I think, representation, historically speaking, of a bridge. It is the bridge between medical cannabis at a self-preservation level where you could grow a small amount, possess a small amount, but not actually have retail access to it. I think the voters are going to approve this in Oregon, and it will move the state into now being the sixth or seventh state that has approved medical cannabis at the retail level and to tax it and to regulate it. It will join Colorado, Maine, Rhode Island, New Jersey, New Mexico, and the District of Columbia. So this is all moving in a very positive direction. And, of course, Arizona, for the third time, will be voting to legalize medical cannabis. It got stiffed by its legislature the first two times, and this time it doesn't look like that's going to happen. And South Dakota likely will pass a medical cannabis initiative as well. So this is all in play again in 2010. But clearly, there is both a mix of medical and legalization initiatives and legislation across the country, which marks this 39th annual conference. And I would like to think that this conference is the observable tipping point, between medical cannabis and legalization. We lost a warrior almost a year ago today in a functional way. Jack Herrera suffered a terrible heart attack about this time last year at Hempstock, and he passed away on April 15th. And so this conference will be the first normal conference since at least 1987 or 88 that doesn't have Jack Herrera present, both here and in our lives. And so we have dedicated part of this conference, and every time Normal will hold a vending area, which I think is very apropos for those who love and know Jack, that from this point forward, any exposition hall Normal will have will always be known as the Jack Herrera Hemposium and Exposition Hall. And I'm pretty convinced he'll still be teaching people about the wonders of cannabis and the ecology of it well past his passing. He's really, truly one of the legends of marijuana law reform, and we're all going to miss him terribly. Eyes on the prize, in conclusion. Women sought the right to vote, which took about 80 years from the time they organized to do so. It took African Americans in seeking enfranchisement about 120 years. It took, and it still is taking, gay and lesbians about 40 years to achieve a great degree of equality in this country. And as noted, this is about normal's 40th year. So we enjoy a certain parallel, to be sure, with the gay-lesbian movement in the United States. History informs us all, never take your eyes off the prize. Many of us will not live long enough to see legalization. But it doesn't mean it's not going to happen. In my mind, it's a fait accompli. It's such a fait accompli in my mind that if the voters don't do it in California this year, they will do it in 2012. And if they don't do it in 2012, we will be there in 2014. We are never going away. Prohibition is. Patience, faith and common sense, and consistency are our guide stars, not political expediency, faddism, or parochial interests. History will also note the immense contribution, sacrifices, tribulations, trials, and I'm not talking metaphorical and allegorical trials. How many people in this room have been arrested and gone to trial for cannabis? Well, blessedly, this is a lot less than a college audience, let me tell you that much. And so many people in this room have actually gone through the incredible tribulations of prohibition to actually lose your freedom, your property, custody of your children, access to your profession. And so almost every single person in this room has made the self-sacrifices to bring us to this day. In this place, the Governor Hotel in Portland, Oregon, September 9th through the 11th. So from Normal's board of directors, our staff, and our 155 chapter network in the United States, welcome, thank you for caring and sharing, and cannabum liberamus, we will liberate cannabis. Thank you very much.
That's Alan St. Pierre, Normal's executive director at the conference.
Michael Phelps. Olympic superstar, 14 gold medals, world record holder. So much for that amotivational syndrome.
Radical Russ here in the studio, keeping things down without Ganja John. Made a mistake in there during the interview. Sorry about that. I'll edit it out in the post. Couple of bits of news that we'll be reporting on tomorrow's Normal Show Live. The latest numbers from the FBI's Uniform Crime Report are out. Marijuana arrests are up by about 10,000 in the year 2009. Even though drug arrests generally are down, making marijuana now 51.6% of the arrests in the war on drugs. We're now a majority. Also, in good news, the Service Employees International Union, SEIU, has officially endorsed California's Prop 19, the largest service employees union in the nation. This should help bring some support to that side. We hope it brings in some money.
It's time for Normal Show Live's Cannabis Science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York in Albany and the author of Understanding Marijuana. Now here's your dose of cannabis science.
All right, welcome back, everyone. 43 after the hour, we're going to bring Dr. Mitch Earlywine back in on the show here. And Dr. Mitch, you should be on the air. I'm kind of flying blind by myself here without Ganja John. I hope everything's working. Can
here
you hear
I
me?
Am.
You can hear me okay?
Yes, indeed.
All right. So first, before we get into the questions and answers, and folks, if you want to get your question in on the chat room, you got to be a friend of the show. Just sign on to stickem.com, add a friend request, and you can get in on the chat. But before we get to that, you were at the Normal National Conference here in beautiful Portland, Oregon. I wanted to get your impressions of your week here in Portland.
In the spirit of I Think God Smokes Weed, I just want to thank you and Cannabis Carrie and Ganja John for being God's little angels that entire weekend. You guys were superb. We had a splendid time. Every time I go, I'm invigorated, but this one was just supremely outstanding. I'm, you know, writing letters to editors on the plane. I'm all fired up to just make sure we change these laws. And I particularly want to thank all of Oregon Normal. I believe I am now the easternmost resident of Oregon Normal. And I just was delighted to join. And the time in the cafe, anybody who thinks cannabis should be prohibited needs to spend just 15 minutes in the cafe. And I assure you, their minds will be changed.
Yeah, we talked a lot about this with John and some other folks. We were saying, you know, what would it be like if marijuana was legal and you could go to a bar that was just marijuana and not alcohol? Well, that's exactly what we've got going on at the cafe, and it's such a mellow, easygoing, friendly, happy, fun vibe. I always tell people that cannabis consumers, we live the life that they show on beer commercials. Not the beer drinkers, it's us. And, boy, it kind of felt like a Coors Light ad in there, didn't it?
Particularly when you and Chief Greenbud were playing the guitars, I would have gladly felt like that was a beer commercial.
You know, one other thing that I thought was really a benefit here from the conference, you know, first of all, I'm working, you know, I'm staying up all night till 1, 2 in the morning and then getting up at 6 or 7 in the morning to go set up the gear. I come in at like 7 a.m. at the Governor Hotel, and there's Dr. Mitch running up the sidewalk at me. he's jogging during conference. Like, talk about health, man. You got it going on.
Glad to do it.
Yeah. And we talked before on the show about cannabis salves and the use of these oil-based, coconut oil-based salves that have cannabinoid medicines in them, and as to whether or not they would, you know, go through the skin, you know, go transdermally and actually provide some cannabinoid relief. You got some experience with that this weekend, and what is your pseudoscientific results of your study so far?
Giant thumbs up. I don't want to minimize Amy, the massage therapist, skill, though. She is incredibly splendid, and without any cannabinoids would get anybody's endorphins going with her massage. But the duration of that post-massage delight was markedly extended, and I do think the salves clearly need more investigation, and I'm convinced of the potential for transdermal transport. It was really a splendid experience.
I know that if you can get some students together for any sort of clinical studies of this, that Alternative Medical Choices would be glad to help out. We'd love to get this studied and get some more information on it.
I'll get right on that. That sounds superb.
Yeah, it couldn't be too hard to find volunteers to get free massages with cannabis salve. I can't imagine. Okay, let's get to the questions coming out of our chat room. Our first one comes from Destruction, who wants to know if you have a particular favorite strain of cannabis for your own personal use.
Indeed, as I've mentioned before, I am a fan of the train wreck, and it's just something that resonates with me. I know lots and lots of folks have lots and lots of other favorites. The Jack Frost was pleasant and present at the conference, and that's also neck and neck as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and you know, you travel a lot all around the country, and you know, one of the things we talk a lot about strains, especially when we talk to Danny Danko and we talk to the cultivation guys, we talk about strains of marijuana. But scientifically speaking, is there very much consistency, say, like if you get a train wreck on the East Coast with one that's a train wreck on the West Coast, is there going to be a lot of difference?
As we saw from Dale Gehringer's talk, actually, there's an incredible variation in the amount of both THC and cannabidiol, even within a single strain. So I'm afraid locale and growing conditions contribute dramatically, even when folks have the exact same seeds. It's much like we see in, you know, the variation on a Cabernet or something like that.
Okay. We have an anonymous question coming in, just wants to know personally, how old were you when you were first exposed to cannabis? And I don't think that necessarily means smoked it, but the first time you were exposed to it.
Well, so when My dad and some other Vietnam-era vets were all together back in Missouri when I was probably 8 or 9. They, you know, told me that these laws were awry, and part of that context was while they used. And then my own use was markedly later than that, but not as old as I would recommend today.
Yeah. Okay. Lisa Boston has a question. She says she used to kid people about being naturally high, but now she wonders, is it possible for people to have overactive endocannabinoid systems and actually be naturally high?
I wouldn't call it overactive, but there's definitely a lot of variation on this, just like there's a lot of variation in mood. If you remember, you know, that kid in grade school who just always seemed to be doing cartwheels and seemed delighted even when bad things happened, those are those folks. And then there are other folks on the other end who, you know, really don't have the same resiliency in the system. As we saw from one of the talks as well, people develop a nice sensitivity to cannabis at low doses. And in fact, if you're willing to stick with a low dose and even wind it a little bit down and a little bit down and a little bit down, you'll discover you pay attention to your own mood and will feel high markedly longer, even when, you know, you think the cannabinoids probably aren't floating around at very heavy concentration.
Okay. Another anonymous question comes in here, asks, if my kid is caught using cannabis, and by kid they mean a ninth grader, what can I say to convince him to wait?
I do address this in the Parents Guide to Marijuana, but the bottom line is explaining about the data on brain development across ages and loss in IQ in heavy use early in life. This is not the time to berate a child, but this is a great time to play up your relationship, talk about what are good ranges of recreational activities, and then just how much you value this child's brain and how much you value this child's intelligence to play up the idea that it's going to be there for you, but there are tons of other sources of delight. I really want you to take advantage of these other sources first, and then later on when your brain is more developed, say post age 18, we'll have this discussion again about appropriate and harmless use.
You know, we've got Lively Libra in our chat room. She's holding up your book on the screen so folks can see that Parents Guide book. Free advertising in the chat. That's wonderful. You know, I think about this too with people, you know, having kids, and especially a lot of people who started their marijuana use as young people. You know, they were 15 or 14 or 16, you know, when they started. So it can make it difficult to have that talk with your kid who's 14, 15, 16. When you did it, they're going to come back and say, well, you know, what kind of hypocrite are you? You know, you smoked when you were 16. Or, you know, I imagine coming back at the kid with I said so or being really punitive about it is probably the worst thing you can do. What do the parents who actually, you know, used at that age, what tools do you have for them?
I'll be very candid. So I used at age 15, and the thing is, every time I was up for, you know, some big academic challenge, I always wish I'd had just a little bit more of an edge. And I gotta admit, I always wonder what would have happened if I had waited. So this sounds corny because I'm, you know, pretty accomplished in the academic domain, but like that was my thing that I really wanted to achieve in, and there were, you know, awards that I got and awards that I missed, and there are certain ones that kind of cast me like, damn, if I could have held off for maybe 3 more years, could I have done this, or could I have won this award, or could I have achieved this in that domain? Wouldn't that have been great? And in truth, we all need as much IQ as we can get. The world is complicated and moving fast, so it's really, really worth it to save those functions and make sure they're working at their peak.
Okay. A question coming in from Zippity Don't. I love that name, Zippity Don't. Which states will allow medical marijuana users to get organ transplants? Do you know of any with specific protections?
I'll have to look into that because, in fact, other than California, which has that, you know, special clause, I really don't think any of the other ones have that. And the decision to do organ transplants is actually not a state-run decision so much as the transplant site makes a list about the folks who they think are most likely to make the best use of the transplant, and unfortunately there's absurd and incredible bias against recreational or even medical cannabis users.
Yeah, this is some information that I might be able to help with. I've just updated my chart, the medical marijuana trends for 2010. This chart compares the plant limits, the possession limits, which conditions are covered under state law, and also keeps track of things like what rights people have or which rights are protected. And as I look down the existing states, I don't see transplant protections for any of the existing medical marijuana states. I did make an update to Rhode Island, which does have protections for driver's licenses. It actually has a clause in their law that says a patient should not be considered impaired solely by metabolites in their blood, which is great. That's great news. Coming up in the election, South Dakota and Arizona, the two states that are voting on medical marijuana this year, both have explicit protection for transplant patients that says that metabolites in one system should not be considered a detrimental factor for one getting organ transplants. So it's something that we're starting to see in these laws as they're coming down the pike, but the existing states, to my knowledge, don't have that. All right, let's get to a couple more questions we'll have time here for, and let's see here. NorCal Kid wants to know, what are some of the differences between the body accepting something as a glycol rather than a fat? How does this, or could this, affect the onset, potency, and the staying power of things like tinctures or edibles?
The pharmacology of this is pretty complicated, but the clincher is fats are metabolized very differently and stored very differently from glycols. As it turns out, if the dosages we're usually using for orally administered cannabis, this isn't going to be a big dramatic impact. So I think long-term or at incredibly heavy doses, we would see a disparity between glycols and alcohol-based tinctures. But an individual case and the dosages most people use, this shouldn't have a lot of impact.
Okay. Moving farther on down the line here for questions, Lively Libra wants to know, she says, when I asked my psychiatrist his views on medicinal marijuana, he said, we already can prescribe Marinol. And this is in the state of Iowa. How can I tell him no to Marinol and educate him about the yes to cannabis?
The key issues with Marinol are, first, it's only THC, and second, it must be orally administered. So what we have is basically the most discombobulating of all the cannabinoids concentrated and eaten. Clearly, you're not going to have the rate of onset that you would like for certain problems because you have to swallow it and wait at least an hour and a half for it to work. You don't have as much control over the dosage because the pills only come in certain sizes. And so a lot of folks tell me, like, you know, the 5 completely sends me to outer space, the 2.5 does nothing, and there's nothing in between. I'm stuck. The expense is also ridiculous. Even at the best rates you can get, you're going to spend at least 3 times as much on the Marinol per day as you would on cannabis. And then for certain conditions, particularly if you're nauseated or something like that, who wants to, you know, swallow a pill when you're vomiting or something along those lines? I do review these issues in Understanding Marijuana, and Paul has wonderful stuff on the Normal website explaining these as well.
All right. So, folks, if you weren't able to get your question in here on the chat, you can always send your questions by email to 420research@gmail.com. Time for one more here on the podcast. And, Dr. Minch, if you want to stay on the line, we can do a little bit more in the second hour if you like.
That'd be fine.
Okay. Real quickly, question from Keel Hall wants to know, could you describe what decarbolization is and why it is needed in edible cannabis products?
I think they might mean decarboxylation.
Yes, yes.
And essentially just as you heat cannabis, there's an oxygen and a carbon molecule that's going to come off, and that makes it so when you eat it, it can form that 11-hydroxy-THC relatively efficiently, and then that's going to be what crosses the blood-brain barrier and give you the subjective effects that you're looking for.
All right. Well, it's very important that we do that for the edibles because it's got to get that chemical out there for people to actually use it. You can't just drop cannabis into a cookie and expect it to work. Plenty of great books out there on cannabis and cooking. Just hit the Google, check out marijuana and cooking. I'm sure you'll find plenty. Maybe look up Chef Raw, for example. We're back with Dr. Mitch right after the top of the hour when we go to Toker Talk Radio. Your live calls at 971-533-7111. For Cannabis Carry, I'm Radical Russ in the Normal Foundation, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live. The voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.